Good morning and welcome to another edition of Inside Petaluma. My name is Cindy Thomas. I am co-hosting with my two friends here, Jason Davies and Janice Cater Thompson. Good morning, everybody. Are we all on? Let's see, I'll get all of our mics on. And wow, we're on our fourth show. Pretty. How come I'm not picking up you? Oh.
Checking one, two.
Oh, there you are.
I'm
hey.
Back.
About that. Okay, a little technical difficulty there. And let's see. We are going to have two guests with us today. One is not here yet, but the other is, and that would be Neil Fishman. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, everybody.
And he's with the Board of Directors for Sonoma Land Trust. He was a past president, and he is currently president of Sonoma County Conservation Action. So that gives you kind of a hint what we might be talking about in a little bit. But we're going to wait for the other guest.
School policy, probably.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, something like that. So it's interesting. We decided that we were going to start out talking with you about something that we constantly find ourselves, the three of us, going back to and having discussions about, and that is the political signage here in Petaluma.
Wow, there are a lot of them. A lot of big signs.
Yeah, a lot of big signs.
And sign blight.
Yeah. So,
it kind of makes you want to look at maybe the city wants to do a little ordinance to maybe decide, you know, how the city's going to do political signs, because it seems like a real blight. And I kind of look forward to seeing the signs on my neighbor's yards. Whether I support them or not, I at least respect that those signs are put on their yards and they have a right to do that. Mm-hmm. The issue I have is with businesses putting signs up, and actually the owners make the choice. The owners of the building make the choice, and the tenants have to go along. And I just don't think that that's right for the businesses, because you're going to piss off 50% of your customers. And I don't think that's a good idea, and I don't think the property owners really realize it. And that's kind of my take on it. But I think it's something the city should really look into, because it's a real blight when you come into this town seeing all these huge signs.
Well, yeah, there's that, and then the point you just raised is it gives you perhaps a false indication of who's actually supporting that candidate. If it's on a big mall area where there's a number of shop owners that are renting from a commercial landlord, and the commercial landlord happens to support a particular candidate, it's tough if you're in one of those shops and you've got customers that maybe don't support that candidate. So I don't know what is there to do there. If there's a lease someone signs that gives the lease owner the ability to put whatever signs they want on their property, I don't know what could be necessarily done about it. But it does beg the question as to what people that are renting these buildings should be looking at before they sign a lease, and whether that's important to them.
Yeah, but it's kind of sad that it's come down to that, where if you're going to lease a building, that you got to find out the owner's political positions before you decide whether you. It would be so much simpler if we could petition to get some kind of sign ordinance in this town that mm-hmm. would limit, you know, signs to your front yards, no businesses.
Right.
This size and this size only.
But corporations are people, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I see a Supreme Court case
coming. Well, you're putting that on yourself. It's always been the Supreme Court once before, and I'm sure that we could do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is something to think about. I've come across a few businesses where I see a big sign of a particular candidate on, you know, the lot, the entire mall, but then the smaller businesses that are in that aren't necessarily supporting that candidate. So it can be confusing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so when are we going to start that petition, you guys?
After November 6th.
Yeah. Time. I mean, here's an idea. How about no signs at all?
Okay. You know what? I'd like
no
to.
No campaign signs.
I think it would be great if you had no signs and you had to actually know the candidate. Yeah. You can actually meet the candidate and know who you're voting for instead of voting for a sign.
But there is this First Amendment thing.
That is true. And we do cherish that.
So we'll probably have to live with signs for a bit. But it's definitely a point of discussion.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling this discussion isn't over. Yeah, so anyway, so we're getting situated here. Our other guest is here. And what we have here is a full studio, so bear with us while we get settled. Denny Rosati is here with us, and he is the campaign manager for Measure M, which I'm going to let him talk to you about. And you're also representing Sonoma County Conservation Action, too, aren't you? Or are you just a manager?
That's Neil Fishman here.
Okay, I thought you were many years ago.
I was.
When
I had that honor.
When I was in politics, that's where I met you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was
abandoned us. You know, he just left.
Wait, on that note, can you give us a brief background on you, Dennis? Just
sure.
Let the listeners get a sense of who you are. And
yeah, I've got a background in ecology and political science, and I spent about 15 years working at Conservation Action, educating the public of Sonoma County on issues that they naturally care about, open space protection, clean air and water campaigns. We worked really hard about a decade ago to get the SMART train passed.
Good
and,
job.
Yeah, I was hoping to take the train down here this morning, but I, as you just witnessed, was running late from my last meeting. I was at the Health Action Sonoma County meeting talking about the Measure M, Yes on Measure M for the Parks campaign. The last 2 to 3 years, I've been running, I started my own business. I do political consulting, public affairs work, public relations work, and I have had the honor and privilege of working with the Sonoma County Regional Parks Department. So I worked for the county as a contractor for about a year and a half with a partner consultant. And basically what we did after the last parks campaign was, when Measure J was on the ballot, was encourage the department to take a really hard internal look, see where the shortcomings were. You know, that measure got a 65% approval. It was super close to passing with the 2/3 needed for the special tax. But that 2% at the end is often the most difficult to get over. So we encourage the department to take a really hard internal look and invest some resources and some money, scarce dollars, into doing public outreach and really listening to the community and trying to better understand where their shortcomings were with that last measure. We know that the public likes parks. They love parks. 90% of Sonoma County residents, when polled in January of this year, said that they had a favorable response toward Sonoma County Regional Parks. That's incredible. 90% of people don't agree on anything, right? Except for maybe air. And even then we could probably debate, right? We went out, we talked to, did the hard work of engaging the elected officials in the county and all the cities. The other dilemma we had was, well, you know, the last measure only used unincorporated voters to tax, to create a fund for the parks. But in order to kind of attack that criticism of why weren't the cities involved, we had to figure out a mechanism to get these people to talk and how do we engage them, because there's nowhere in the county to come together to talk about parks. People have this, you know, transportation agency where they talk about transportation issues. There's an agency to talk about climate change. There's an agency to talk about open space. There's an agency to talk about health. Like I just mentioned, I came from Health Action, but parks didn't have that kind of natural coming together point.
You can't just meet in a park, I guess.
Well, we did, actually. We met with many elected officials in the park. So the department went out, did some survey work amongst the elected officials, amongst the natural parks partners and the nonprofit community in the county. And what we came up with was, we think, a fair and measured way of involving all these different entities. You got 9 different jurisdictions overseeing parks with the cities in the county, and then you have the county government. So you got 10 different entities. Measure M that we're proposing here basically takes a 1/8 cent sales tax, which is, we think, a pretty modest amount of money to ask for every $25 someone spends. That's 3 cents they'd be taxed. That goes into a fund, and it does accumulate to quite a bit over a course of a year. It's $11.5 million.
Wow.
And that money is divided, 2/3 of it will go to Sonoma County Regional Parks to be used for parks, you know, purposes only. and then one third of it will go to a pot of money, a fund, that will be divided amongst the cities in the county by population. So that's essentially nine different jurisdictions, doling out the money. The money is overseen by a citizens advisory committee. So there's a kind of a checkpoint there for the taxpayer.
Mm-hmm.
Five people appointed by the board of supervisors, and then two people appointed by the mayors and council members association. So you got a body of seven. If someone gets out of line, which we don't think they will, but if they do, there is someone there to oversee it and make sure that they don't, and then they would get penalized if they did get out of line, and they would forfeit their future ability to receive funds from that measure. Yeah.
So are they? Sorry.
How many? I wanted to know how many years we're expected to pay into this tax.
It's a 10-year tax, 10-year measure. So there's a sunset 10 years from now. It'll go into effect if approved by voters next year.
And you were talking about the hurdle to get this approved. You said it was a 65% or above that?
66 and a third, so it's two-thirds.
Okay, right, two-thirds. And that's because it's a special tax, and this is as a result of a ballot measure that happened how long ago? Was it a few years back?
It's at least 20 years ago.
Is it 20 years?
The early 80s or late 70s, yeah.
I don't remember how long. Wow, it seems like it wasn't that long ago.
13.
Well, it was
a follow-up to that.
It was an initiative.
Yeah, I recall that. Yeah, so that makes it very difficult to get a tax going like this. It's a pretty tall hurdle. And you're just trying to create awareness for this, and what kind of campaign are you running to get people behind this?
We've got a pretty robust effort going. We've got a website, SonomaCountyParksForAll.org.
Okay.
Which has a bunch of campaign resources and ways to endorse. And we've got a growing list of endorsements. We've got an event coming up on September 17th at Safari West.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Which is pretty exciting.
Have you been out there before?
I have, yes.
I got to spend the night there once with my family. It was absolutely amazing. Very, very cool. Slept in one of those tents outside.
Nice.
With walls that are pretty much just a tent. But real floors,
yeah.
Fun.
Safari in your backyard, basically.
It's pretty neat.
Okay, so we introduced Neil Fishman earlier, and I want to know, Neil, why are you behind this Measure M?
Well, that's a good question. I really spent my whole career working on conservation issues, parks, open space, habitat protection. Most of that was at the Coastal Conservancy, and so in that job, I worked a lot with Sonoma County and saw a lot of the needs up here. Of course, I grew up here, and I've always been a lover of the hills and valleys of Sonoma County. I always wanted to go climb to the top of those mountains that never were open to the public, and now several of them are. And so this measure ensures that these properties that we already have can be opened and maintained, and the hiking trails are in good shape, and the bathrooms are in good shape, and parking lots work, but it also has money for habitat protection for the regional parks. There's almost $20 million of these funds can go in to fix up streams and wetlands and other types of habitat. And those funds and other funds to operate and maintain the parks are what's going to attract a lot of state dollars. Having worked for the state for many years, I know these agencies want to give money to the agencies that have committed to maintaining the properties. And that's what this measure gives us a leg up. There's also a provision that any locality that passes a funding measure for parks prior to November, or as of this November election, can compete for another pot of money that other localities can't. So in a way, this puts us way ahead. I think Sonoma County has always done very well for state dollars because we're such a diverse county with so many resources, so many tourists, that it does bring in a lot of state money. But this is going to ensure that that keeps happening and that the money to operate and maintain things attract dollars to buy more lands that we want to put into the system, and that money to fix things up will attract those watershed dollars that are coming in great abundance. I know a lot of people confuse or may confuse the fact that we just voted for Prop 68, which is a parks measure, but it's a state parks measure to operate and maintain the state park system and to for the conservancies and for others, organizations, Department of Water Resources and others, to buy land and maintain land, but it doesn't help us operate our local park systems. It can help us buy land, but only if we can show we have the funds to maintain those lands. So here, this measure really puts us, you know, 2 feet right in front of the granting agencies to do well.
And how does that going to work for Lafferty? People in Petaluma want our park. Is that going to happen?
Well, you know, Lafferty is it's another story, and of course there's a negotiation going on in Lafferty. I'm part of that process, and we can't really talk about the status of Lafferty other than to say that I think all of us are more optimistic than we were a couple of years ago that this is going to happen. So if it happens and we can get that into the regional park system, then these funds could apply for those. If it becomes a city park, well, then these funds could be used, the city funds. Because the city of Petaluma, I think, will get somewhere in the $1 million a year range out of these funds to fund its park system.
That's
great. And there are provisions in the measure that say you have to maintain effort. So you can't take this and just willy-nilly say, all right, I'm going to take what I was paying for parks and put it over to the cops or put it over to the schools or something else. You have to maintain what you were doing, and this has to be additive.
That's great to know, because that was a real concern, that the cities would go ahead and they would just, you know, kind of shift monies to other places.
I believe you can do that a little bit, and there are also provisions in case of emergencies. So it could be done, but it's not the way it's going to happen on a year-to-year basis. It's going to be, you're going to start with a baseline, and this is going to add to it, This is also great for local businesses that rely on tourism. And
It also seems to be, to an extent, a public safety issue. I mean, it mentions here the measure would invest more in the natural resources program, leading to improved wildfire resiliency for our community. I mean, that's a pretty strong bullet right there.
Well, it is. And, of course, you know, some of that is thinning trees and things like that. Some of it is putting in other fire safety things like, you know, hoses and hose bibs and so on and so forth. But, yeah, I mean, there isn't the money to ensure the sampling world. We've got Helen Putnam right out there, a big grassland just to the west of us. You know, sometimes the winds come from that direction.
So Helen Putnam's a great example of a park that would benefit from this.
Very much so.
That's great.
Well, today I went down to Marin County because I had to bring my car to the Subaru dealer, and to be back in time for the show, I took the train back, and I met two women on the train, and they were coming to Petaluma to go hiking, and so I was talking to them about places to hike, and you kind of realize the gems that we do have in this community, such as Helen Putnam, and then we also have, you know, from the Sheraton all the way to the wastewater plant.
Yes.
And I just want to plug in the wastewater plant. That was a real joint venture,
mm-hmm.
and it brought a lot of people together, and we brought local money, state money, federal money, and people don't realize that those trails were created because the city needed a wastewater plant, but you had to have a joint venture to get the money to make that happen.
So you
have people coming to Petaluma, and I'm talking to them about gems that they can go visit, and they had their map with them, and it's going to be great to be able to add onto that map.
Yeah, it is. A great story about that wetland. I remember Janice came to me and my wife Maxine, who was also at the Conservancy at the time, saying, there's this great project out here, and I've got this woman who does these fantastic designs. And sure enough, it started a process that ended up getting money, I think $4 million from the Coastal Conservancy.
We ended up getting money from Coastal Conservancy and the Open Space District to purchase the land.
And honest, I use no influence on that.
And this is one of the strong arguments against putting an asphalt plant near, you know, Schoenberger, because there has been such a tremendous investment in that park area, in the open space. And I'm glad to see that so far that project hasn't gone through. This is exciting. So people want to help out the campaign. Obviously, they can go to the website, which is SonomaCountyParksForAll.org. And you said there was an event coming up that was going to be a benefit for this?
Yeah, September 17th from 5:30 to 7:30 at Safari West, which is up on Porter Creek Road, Mark West Springs. Peter Lang, one of the owners of Safari West, has been very involved in the resiliency and recovery efforts. His deeds to save the animals there, and some of the property are at this point kind of legendary. He was there the night of the fires and stayed, and made pretty heroic attempts to protect and save the wildlife that was on the property. So we're really excited about co-hosting the event there, and that they're welcoming us into their space. There's rumor there's going to be some really cool animals presented and brought down for us.
Oh, that's cool.
Things of the slothy nature have been discussed.
They suffered a lot of fire damage, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Yes.
But
yeah.
I remember reading the owner was very heroic in making sure that all the animals got saved.
Yeah, I think they lost their own home, actually.
Yeah, I read about that.
We're honored that he signed our ballot statement.
That's great.
We had some really, really diverse folks sign that statement.
Well, he knows that firsthand, the danger of the fire, and in theory, this would help thin the woods around where his
Absolutely.
Place is, and that would be safer.
And regional parks, Sonoma County Regional Parks has a natural resources department, as Neil mentioned. It's been a growing department for them. It's a staff of one, now it's two and two and a half. So they have some, and we saw during the fires that the regional parks were very much relied upon to provide buffers between the cities and the kind of wildland corridor. They used Shiloh Regional Park up outside of Windsor as a backfire mm-hmm. base to kind of prevent fire from coming into the city there. So there's a lot of really exciting opportunities to continue to steward and utilize our natural resources in the regional parks to kind of create these buffers and enhance that piece. While you all were talking about some of the finer points there in Petaluma, I looked up the expenditure plan for Petaluma on the $11.5 million a year at population figures based on last year's population. We are looking at a $659,107 per year allotment to Petaluma, which comes out to, over a 10-year measure, $6,591,070. So that's a pretty significant chunk of money the city can rely upon, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are estimates because sales tax numbers fluctuate with the economy and with population growth and all that kind of stuff. We think we're in terms of planning for this, we're using that $11.5 million number. I've heard some higher numbers thrown around, but I think it's important for us to be fiscally conservative in our mm-hmm. planning mm-hmm. so that we don't get too far ahead of ourselves in this thing. Again, all those dollars are dedicated toward parks uses, and as Neil mentioned, there's a clause in the measure for keeping up with what you were doing prior. So you can't just replace those prior dollars.
So you've been polling the issue now. What are you finding? Who's backing it? What's the percentage?
We basically view this as an everybody issue.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some great support come in from the Federated Indians, the Great Rancheria. They're one of our biggest sponsors. The Sonoma County Regional Parks Foundation has been a big sponsor. We just received the official endorsement of the SEIU 10-1.
Okay.
And the North Bay Labor Council.
Great.
So we're really excited about those endorsements coming in. The Sonoma Land Trust has been a big endorser. It's a pretty
Sierra Club, I imagine.
We had our interview with Sierra Club almost a month ago,
okay,
and it was very positive. But we have not received the official word from them on the endorsement. Their process takes quite a while.
While.
Yeah, because they're a national organization.
Well, hopefully before the election.
that's our hope as well.
Do you have elected officials that have signed onto it?
We do. Yes, we've got a pretty robust. We've got all the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors have endorsed. Congressman Jared Huffman and Mike Thompson have both endorsed.
Great.
I believe all of the electeds representing Sonoma County in the state legislature, with the exception of one, that's Cecilia Aguilera-Curry, and that's pending. We have the ask-in, and there's been some back-and-forth discussion. With some of these folks, we have to kind of tell them what the measure is, and they want to do their diligence,
right.
You know?
What about the Petaluma City Council and candidates? Are they being asked about it?
Yes. Mayor Glass, Teresa Baird on the council, Dave King, Gabe Kearney, Kathy Miller, all have endorsed. Mike Healy endorsed. I think the only outstanding council member in Petaluma is Mr. Albertson.
Okay.
Yeah, and that may just be an issue of...
Just hasn't gotten to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would think he'd support it because of the public safety and the fire issues.
If you're listening.
I don't know. You have a unanimous vote of the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors, a near unanimous vote of the Petaluma City Council. There must be something wrong with this measure.
Absolutely. Well, what about the candidates, though? Have you actually polled?
Yes.
You have, okay.
Yes.
And are you endorsing candidates?
We are not endorsing candidates, no. Okay. No.
But candidates are endorsing the measure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, we're a campaign committee that's promoting a ballot measure.
Yes, so exactly. But
we're asking and welcoming all endorsements to come in to us.
Okay.
However, we're not, like, you know, trading endorsements with individual candidates.
Sure.
Because, again, we are an every one measure. My understanding is 7 people running for 3 seats in the council here. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Delinda Fincher has endorsed. It's running. Scott Alonso's endorsed. It's probably not fair for me to start rattling off names without the list in front of me because I'm not going to remember all of them, but I know we've got a bunch of the candidates on our
Dennis
list.
Dennis Posicke?
I believe so.
How about the mayor's race?
Mayor Glass is endorsed.
Oh, and Teresa Barrett.
Teresa Barrett and Mike Harris. Is Mike Harris endorsed?
We do not have Mike Harris's endorsement. We would welcome it, but we do not have it.
Interesting. Well,
we'll have to work on it.
Will we see ads for this? How are you going to promote it other than what you've already mentioned?
We have a robust door-to-door operation.
Okay, so canvassing.
We are doing, yep. We have our phone bank starting next week. So people are going to start getting friendly phone calls from our campaign to educate them about the measure and remind them. Again, with a 90% support and very strong support, even when you start talking about taxes for the parks, our mission is to really educate people and inform them that this is on the ballot so that they remember to vote. There's going to be a lot on the ballot, and yes on Measure M is going to be a really important message for us to just get out there.
My gut says that, I mean, everybody likes parks, I think. Everybody, you know, values the support for that, but that fire element, I think that's a real good one to sell it.
The fire resiliency is
because that's a big issue that we all face, and it wasn't that long ago that, you know, for about a week we had so much smoke you couldn't even walk around Petaluma without a mask. So I think that's fresh in a lot of people's memories, and I would imagine if that's positioned, I mean, I would put it maybe a little further towards the top of your bullets, but
that's
a strong one.
The measure would invest more in the natural resources program, leading to improved wildfire resiliency for our community.
Yeah, because most people, when you talk about raising money for the parks, they're not making that kind of connection. Yeah. And oftentimes when people are in a belt-tightening mode, they're like, the parks are fine. We don't need money for parks. We need money to fix potholes or whatever. So I think that public safety element is key.
So did you guys draft this up yourself, or was there another county that you modeled after? Are there other counties that do have a similar type tax?
My understanding is almost all of the counties in the Bay Area have the same type of tax. And Denny, I'm not sure. Who did the drafting on this measure?
To the first point, Napa, Sonoma, and Solano are the 3 of the 9 Bay Area counties that do not have a dedicated source of funding via, you know, voter support tax to their parks departments. Napa and Sonoma both tried back in 2016, and were
Solano. You mean you said Sonoma?
It was I believe it was Napa and Sonoma.
Oh, Sonoma did.
We went to the ballot in 2016. Both got very close, but did not succeed. Napa decided to wait this cycle and go in 2020. We decided to go forward in 2018, again because of the outreach that the department had been doing, and hearing back clearly from elected officials, from staff people at nonprofits, from the community. The department sent out 2 mailers. One was a countywide survey with a card on it that said, you know, do you support, blah, 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 how do you feel? And we got really strong, I wish I had the numbers in front of me, unfortunately I don't,
right.
But we got really strong support back from that community survey card. Our public polling, you know, we were thinking about going to the ballot in June of this year. And in October of last year, obviously the fires happened, and we just had to put everything on hold because there was, you know, obviously pressing priorities. The parks were literally on fire. You know, we had to put them out first.
Right.
So we went back to a public poll in January to basically see where things were at. Very open mind. do we have a shot at this thing, or are we going to have to wait? And the response that came back was clearly strong support, 90% favorability. The urgency from the public actually increased by about 5 or 6 points in that poll, because they saw the clear connection between what the function of the regional park system provided in terms of wildfire and natural resource protection,
mm-hmm.
In terms of resiliency. So in terms of the measure and how it was crafted, we looked at a lot of different models from Contra Costa, from Alameda, from the, oh my gosh, Peninsula.
The Peninsula Open Space,
they have their own measure. And including our own Sonoma County Agriculture and Open Space District measure. And basically what the department staff did was they crafted a measure based on best practices and what we were hearing on the ground here in Sonoma County. So we kind of have our own tailored to our specific needs and priorities. And then in terms of the split between the cities and the county, that was really tricky. To figure out what was the right way to go, mm-hmm. what was the right mix, was the right split.
That sounds like a good way to go.
And then the 2/3, 1/3, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Because regional parks really could spend a whole $11.5 million a year on just their own internal needs, mm-hmm. without even starting to, have pork, if you will.
Right.
There's a lot of backlog of maintenance. There's a lot of issues to deal with in that park system. At the same time, the department felt that it was really important to share these funds and to create a system where collaboration is encouraged. We heard from the elected officials, for example, in the county that connectivity was really important to them. So working on things like trails connecting Sebastopol, where I live, and mm-hmm. Petaluma, mm-hmm. right? That's on the books. There's a 10, 20-year vision out into the future to make that happen, and it's going to be really tricky to get there. But we go and talk to the Cotati City Council members. They say we support an interconnected trail into the Laguna. I go to talk to Roanoke Park City Council members, and they tell me the same thing. And those City Council members aren't necessarily even talking to each other.
Interesting.
So it was a really educational exercise for the mm-hmm. department, for us.
A lot of networking.
So that's kind of where the genesis, if you will, of mm-hmm. the measure came from.
Mm-hmm. So do we expect? How many tax measures do you think we're going to see on the ballot? I'm just curious, because sometimes what I've seen in the past is when you get more than a couple, people just sort of glaze over and go, I'm not going to vote for any of them, depending on the people. So I know sometimes that's a calculation people make when they put a tax measure on the ballot. They're trying to figure out, well, is this going to be competing with other ones? Have you looked at that?
We have. Countywide, it varies depending on where you are in terms of what's on the ballot. Yeah. There are 6 different fire districts that have special parcel taxes mm-hmm. that are going to be on the ballot this year. There are several school boards that are asking for bond funding. Yeah. There's several cities like Santa Rosa, being the biggest population in the county, has 2 different tax measures on. Mm-hmm. One is for general fund services, mm-hmm. Pitched around recovery. The other one is for housing. It's a housing bond
mm-hmm.
To allow the city to go out and build affordable housing. Our position as a campaign is that we're not competing with those folks.
Sure.
We have an issue that we think rises to the top, and I don't want to say it's on the side over here, but it's just a different thing.
Right.
We're providing through the fund, and it's also a pretty modest amount we're asking folks for for parks. So we think that voters are going to be, our theory at least, is that mm-hmm. voters are going to be likely to check the yes box for yes on Measure M.
Good. There's always an organization that just seems to oppose every tax measure. Are they going to take a position against this? Or
we did have an argument filed against our measure.
It's not the same guy, is it?
It is. It's the taxpayer system. Yeah, and they make their argument about pensions with the county that they've been making for a long time.
Oh, so and don't vote for this because they still haven't fixed the pension
correct.
Issue. But they're totally unrelated.
And then, the reality is that Sonoma County has, and as you saw in last weekend's, we are grateful to have the Press Democrats' endorsement this time, which we did not have in 2016. And I'd like to think that's through some of the hard work the department's done to earn that endorsement. Even the Press Democrat editorial called out that Sonoma County has done incredible work to deal with the issue of unfunded pension liabilities. You know, in some ways, these elected officials in the government, is their hands are tied
yeah.
in terms of what they can do to address
sure.
the problem, but we have done a lot locally.
Right.
So in terms of relationships, you know, I love working on campaigns, and I think it's a lot about relationships with people and,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you promote an idea forward, especially on a ballot measure where you don't have some of the more partisan politics at play. The director of regional parks, Bert Whitaker, I like to tell folks I got hired the same day that Bert got hired. His first day was my first day. Bert did, and his department staff did a lot of work to reach out to the Taxpayers Association, recognizing that they were probably going
mm-hmm.
to have some concerns and,
mm-hmm.
and issues. And how?
I mean, don't some of them have houses that could be impacted by fires?
Yep.
Don't they like
yep.
parks?
Yep. Yep. We like to think that relationship building helped to perhaps take some of the edge off of their opposition.
Okay. But they're still opposing it.
They did oppose, but what they also did, which they had a choice, you know, when you file your ballot argument,
mm-hmm.
your opposition has the opportunity to file an argument against.
Right.
And then you get to do a rebuttal.
Okay.
Both sides do.
Okay.
And our opposition chose not to rebut our argument for.
Oh. That's kind.
Yes. So we actually had the opportunity to put our argument in and our rebuttal to their argument, and they chose not to rebut our argument for.
Was you the only one they chose not to rebut?
That's my understanding.
Well, yeah. That's a soft rebuttal, then. It's not a rebuttal.
It's a work of soft endorsement.
It sounds like a soft endorsement.
I'm not going to say that because it's not
yeah.
it's not an endorsement, but
this is a pretty small tax.
They're not $500 as hard
as 3 cents on a $25 purchase, or you buy a $25,000 car, it's $30 onto that. For most people, this is not a tax you'll feel in any way, shape, or form.
Well, there was the Press Democrat had an article last week, and it was about, you know, we have an aging community. And when you're aging, you want to stay in good health, you want to start hiking,
yeah.
you really your life changes.
Yep.
And so I think it's a real benefit for all age groups in this county. I mean, everybody benefits from it. But one thing I want to know is, will there be the ability to purchase things for ADA, for people that can't walk on the trails?
Oh,
are you going to provide wheelchairs, you know, special chairs and stuff? And
it can be used for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to the parks departments within the county and the county parks department as to what they want to do on ADA, but these funds can be used for that.
That's great. That's great. We want to make sure it's for everybody, and I think that's
yeah.
wonderful.
In fact, through the CEQA process and the new ADA laws that have come out in the last 10, 15 years, parks are required to make certain accommodations to folks so that everyone can, you know, we call this a parks for all measure, right? And it's not just a slogan. It's real. Like, we want everyone to have these access to these places and spaces. And, yeah, of course, like, you can't make every single trail, you know, a certain width and you know, paved or whatever. But where we can accommodate those places and spaces, I've seen the Regional Parks Department doing a pretty good job of that. And I think they'll do a better job with some actual money to work with
mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to figure out how we're going to pay the tractor bill for the cutting the grass down so we have fire safety next week. You know, like, it's...
Well, and it's much more expensive when your house burns down than some preventive tax. So,
it sounds like a win for everybody in
yeah,
the county.
Everybody.
I mean, it's just, you know, it is a really small tax. You get so much benefit from it. And you're getting, and it's not just the county, it's the cities that get benefits from it. Everybody benefits. And it's unusual that you have a tax that you feel really good about.
Hey, how fun will it be to be able to go to a Petaluma City Council meeting for you folks and say, you know, we know you just got this $650,000 into the park system. Here's what we think you should, right?
And you definitely have it set so they can't just spend reduce the spending on parks and shuffle money around.
There's a maintenance of effort clause in the measure.
Yeah.
And again, that's overseen by a group of seven
yeah.
people appointed by Board of Supervisors and Mayors and Council Members Association to review the expenditures of how the monies are used each year.
Maybe that's why the organization didn't do a rebuttal.
Maybe, yeah.
Because you got that done.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we like to think there's some checks and balances in it. And,
that's a lot of times people won't vote for taxes because they're too general. We had that issue,
Measure Q.
Measure Q. Yeah, and it was what did the press Democrats say? Too high, too long, and forever. They called it forever tax. Mm. So I think people are starting to get a little wiser in the way they consider tax measures. You know, they should be, even though it takes a higher threshold to get them through, they should be focused, they should be targeted towards specific things, and you're going to get much more support for it. What I often hear is, yeah, I want the roads fixed, but every time I vote for a new tax, it goes to something else that I didn't want. Well, that's the beauty of making it targeted, but then you've got the threshold issue. It almost seems like it should be the opposite. If it's a general tax, it should be harder to get through than a special tax.
Yes, isn't it? That's really true. That's true.
Because if it's general and it can pass easier, but often they don't pass anyway.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Seems like it should be backwards. It should be the other way.
Yeah,
I think I have the theory down, but I don't want to get into it.
We don't have enough time. Well, this sounds like a really great measure, and it's good to be part of it. And it sounds like the event on the 17th is going to be a fun event and a family event, I assume.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
There also is going to be lots of phone banking around the county, and there is a phone bank for Petaluma, but I think
it's on the 11th.
Has the Sonoma County Democratic Party taken a position on this?
They're meeting on Tuesday night of next week, the 11th.
I know we now have the headquarters for Sonoma County.
How about the Republican Party? They like parks, too.
The
conservation movement was started by Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican.
We welcome
who had never been.
Richard Nixon signed the bill creating the EPA.
Neither of whom would be elected in today's Republican Party.
That may be true.
Probably.
Sorry.
They probably have to follow the Democrats to get elected.
But parks is definitely not a partisan issue.
It certainly shouldn't be.
If I could, I could give you a couple of examples of how some of the funding for the regional park system would be.
Great.
Be spent, if you'd like to hear it. This is through the Invest in Maintenance, Safety, and Recreation Services. That will generate 25% of the funds from the measure, which will generate $28.75 million over the 10-year period. Major investments at Spring Lake, including, and that's in Santa Rosa, bike path renovation, widening to reduce conflicts with walkers and cyclists, 7 restroom and bathhouse renovations to improve function and reduce water, and energy use replacement of underground piping and sewage ejection system. That sounds scary. That's over 20 years old. Repair and sealing of paved parking areas and driveways. Restore bridges, culverts, and trail access damaged and are destroyed by winter storms over the past decade, including through the firestorms at Riverfront, Joe Rodota Trail, West County Trail, Stillwater Cove, and Spring Lake Park.
Nice.
Major repairs and replacements to over 100 miles of fencing and livestock watering infrastructure in the open space parks to sustain and expand grazing and fuels management objectives. Ongoing park system-wide investments to repair or replace sewage septic systems, underground utilities, electrical panels, failing pavement, culverts, roofs, buildings, and decades-old infrastructure to improve public safety, visitor experiences, and improve energy and efficiency and the protection of resources. You know, what's not spoken there, but it's kind of inferred, is if we don't get this funding, it's kind of scary what's happening to our public infrastructure.
That's actually a good point, is what we see the benefits of approving this. What's the consequence if we don't? More fires, dilapidated parks.
Restrooms that don't work.
You know, and we also want to see Sonoma County as this tourist magnet.
Exactly.
We want great facilities for us and our kids and all that, but
it's a magnet.
We want people to come here and, you know, world-class restaurants, world-class wine, you know, now we got olives and cheeses. You're going to go to a park and the bathroom is really crappy and the roads are falling apart. It's just not the thing we want to do here for that tourist industry to continue to thrive here.
Now, it's a critical infrastructure thing when you think about it. And when you mentioned the tourism thing, that's huge. That's a big part of our revenue in the county. So, and the big reason people come is because of the open space in the parks.
Yeah. And surprisingly, you know, Sonoma County, it's not like Marin. Most of Marin County is public land already, and Sonoma County isn't. So what we've got, we've got to maintain. And where there's opportunities to buy more, that's why we have the open space district to buy those more lands, and that's why we have state bonds to buy more lands. And now we have a funding source to operate those properties and keep the facilities up. It's a good thing.
it's a very good thing. It's very much needed. And, you know, Marin County is a perfect example of how you can really preserve land and let people hike on the land also and not be afraid of people. You know, it's a symbiotic relationship. And I think Sonoma County is kind of stepping up to the plate, realizing that tourism is important and tourism includes hiking. Just like mm-hmm. today, coming back on the smart train, two ladies with their backpacks, they've come in here to hike.
And now, if we could only dredge the river, we'd be in good shape. We could only dredge the river.
Oh, yeah. I didn't hear what you said. Well, that's another ballot measure.
It speaks to sustainable development in general because people come here for a reason. It's a beautiful place. So we want to make sure that we continue to make it beautiful and keep it beautiful. And obviously, working towards improving the parks is a big step.
Yeah.
Direction.
And speaking of rivers, here in Petaluma, in the Sonoma County, it's called the SCIP, Sonoma County Integrated Parks Plan,
mm-hmm.
There is a long-term planning proposal to have what they call a water trail. That
yes.
would basically be anchored in Petaluma mm-hmm. on the western side, and then Napa, the city of Napa, on the
wow.
eastern side. And the idea here, the concept, is that you could kayak, canoe, you know, somehow watercraft your way all along those baylands, which are fairly protected and, you know, navigable by, for a person in a personal, you know, boat from point to point, having places to stop over for lunch or, you know, rest, portages along several of the different points where you could gain public access.
That'd be super cool.
Yeah, and potentially camping in some of those areas where you can only boat in.
Yeah.
Some really exciting
that
stuff in this
fun.
Plan. You know, you can write all kinds of great ideas on paper, but without funding to come
yeah.
behind them, it's hard to kind of move the ball and get there. So.
And this would help towards that as well.
And it would help the tourist thing. It would, speaking of Schellenberger and
yeah.
folks coming here from, you know, all over yeah. the world, the bird and,
And this is not pie in the sky because there is a thing called the Bay Area Water Trail.
Yes.
It's in law
yeah.
and it has state funding behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, if we are able to pass this measure, we have some of the seed money that can attract those other monies
to
do these great projects.
Because we're really ripe for doing that at this point, you know, with the river. You know, we've
mm-hmm.
been talking about it for 20 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you can actually start implementing some of those connections.
So
one at a time.
Listeners, if you like what we've been talking about, please support Measure M. It's going to be on the ballot. You can find out more about it by going to SonomaCountyParksForAll.org. And, yeah, I can't implore you enough to support this measure.
Right. And then Neil mentioned phone banking. What if our listeners want to join into the volunteer pool and help you out with that?
I'm going to get information on that in 1 minute.
Oh.
On where exactly you should go.
Well, I've got it in front of me.
Excellent.
info@SonomaCountyParksForAll.org. And that's where it says on your flyer to
awesome.
Join the campaign. And they do have a beautiful flyer, so, you know.
Which is available on our website, and it's there, also the regional Sonoma County Regional Parks website has quite a bit of information with the actual text of the ballot measure, the expenditure plan, and then a whole bunch of the thinking that went into the background to kind of get us to this point as well.
This is exciting. I feel like hiking already.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, you guys, you sat down and you did a great measure. You really put your heads together and did what was good for the county. And it's just exciting because, you know, so many measures we deal with are just so, they're just not inclusive. And this is a great one.
I want to kayak to Napa.
I do, too.
How the heck do I do that?
I have kayaked to Napa.
Really?
Yes, and it's great. You can go there and they have a...
from Petaluma.
No. Sherry Cardo and I went over there, and we went over there for a kayaking trip.
Oh, I meant from Petaluma.
Not from Petaluma. So that's a great place to go.
The farthest I've gone on the Petaluma River was to that Greek restaurant. Is it
Papa Tavernas?
Tavernas, yeah. And I couldn't even get out of the boat. I was so sore. I got to the, there's like a little dock there, and tried to get out, and it was like, I had to kind of wiggle my way out of it. It was a bit too long
yeah.
rowing that day.
We actually went down to the mouth to the bay once. It was about 10, 15 years ago.
That's amazing.
And it was a long trip. It was great because I was, we had a double canoe. So, you know, I was like, stroke, you know, for Jerry. Come on, keep it going.
Wow.
And, but it was a long trip, but it was just amazing. And it's just beautiful.
So I have it on good authority that ex-Congressman Richard Gebhardt is at this moment touring the Petaluma River.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yes,
oh,
yes,
great.
He is.
On what? On a boat or?
On my brother's boat. I'm not sure I know how this whole story happened, but if you're listening, hi, Congressman.
You're
always a good guy.
Wow.
Well, we're going to have to call Leland tonight and find out what's going on.
What's going on?
Interesting.
Oh, that's great.
I wonder who he's endorsing in our local races.
I don't know. He's going to move here and run for something.
You never know. You never know. Huh.
Okay, so I want to thank you guys for being here with us today. We're going to be closing up shop here in a little bit, and we got some housekeeping to do. But, again, we had Denny Rosati, campaign manager for Measure M, and Neil Fishman with the Sonoma Land Trust and also Sonoma County Conservation Action. And it was a great show. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us on.
We learned a lot. Thank you.
Yes,
on
M.
Pleasure.
Yes, on M. Parks for All.
Yes, on M. Parks for All.
And those phone banks in Petaluma will be on Tuesdays at 5:30. And we'll get you that location so you guys can promote that in the future for us, if you should choose to do so.
We could even put something on our website. We have the InsidePetaluma.com website, which is an evolving work in progress. So, you know, be kind when you go there. But already we do have archives of all the shows that we've already done. There's been four of them. So now this is our fifth show, actually. And we also just put some links to the campaign finance statements from all the candidates for city council and the mayoral race. You can go to that website, InsidePetaluma.com, and you can find out where people are getting their money. You can find these links on the city website, but we thought it'd be convenient just to post them there. But we can put some information about Measure M there as well.
Thank you.
And actually, for the phone banking, it's going to be from 5 to 8:30, and it's going to be on Tuesday. And it's going to be at REMAX Real Estate Office in downtown Petaluma.
Very cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
So even real estate is supporting you. That's a good one.
There we go.
There we go. Yeah.
They know it's good.
All right. And
that's a little campaign trick, by the way.
What's that?
Real estate offices tend to have a lot of phones.
Exactly.
So, if you can get a good real estate office on your side, you got an instant phone bank.
Yeah. Now, are you also doing lists to people at home so they can use their own?
Yes.
Okay.
We can do that as well.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
And our phone bank in Roner Park is going to be a cell phone only phone bank. Yeah.
I was going to say, everybody has cell phones now, so I think it's where you need a big space where people can actually congregate.
Yeah. You can donate your minutes to the campaign.
You've kind of aged yourself when you said we need to go places.
Yeah.
Or you can just sit in your bathrobe at home and do it.
That's funny.
Okay. Again, thanks for being here. And Jason, the website, do we have – Jason's our tech guy, by the way, and do we have a way for listeners to go to the website and contact us?
Yes, they can go to InsidePetaluma.com, and there's a contact form there. You can also send an email to info@InsidePetaluma.com. The website's probably the simplest.
Okay, and I would like to add that we look forward to any suggestions you have for future shows, or if you have something in particular that pertains locally here in Petaluma that you would like to come on and talk about, let us know. And we're here for you guys, and we want to be informative, and so anything you have to say about what we're doing or suggestions, we welcome that.
Thank you very much, people.
Yeah. Okay, you've been listening to KPCA here in Petaluma, California at 103.3 FM, or some of you might have streamed us today. We stream all of our shows live at kpca.fm. And like Jason said, you can always go to the website and listen to it post hands. So.
Also, there's a direct link on the website to hear it online. Yeah. So if you go to the homepage, you can actually, you don't have to tune into a terrestrial radio. You can actually just click on that link. It'll take you to the web stream.
Wow. See, Janice, I knew that's the reason why we needed Jason here with us.
I knew that.
Jason's a tech guy.
I'm tech guy.
You know all the political, regulatory things here in Petaluma, and me, I like to ask lots of questions.
The older I get and the older my kids get, the less of a tech guy I feel like. Man, those kids.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
They're showing me how to do stuff now.
Okay, so folks, join us again next Friday, 11 to noon, for Inside Petaluma, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
And that's it.
Are you looking for an alternative to the usual political punditry? With free-range radio KPCA, look no further. Given the day of the week, local programmers delve into such topics as Pilates, mental health, and even independent journalism, with guests that evoke honest and open discussions. Tune in at 103.3 FM or online at kpca.fm.
This is DJ Saeed, host of Four Circle Sessions. Every Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m., my show presents incredible dance music from across the decades. Join me for 2 hours of musical journey, featuring the best in eclectic dance music. Get your weekend started here at 103.3 KPCA.
I heard there was a new radio station in town.
Oh, you mean Free Range Radio KPCA at 103.3 FM.
Yeah, that's right. How did you know about that?
Well, I just look where all good information comes from, Facebook. Just follow the Free Range Radio KPCA page and join the discussion. Just keep it polite.
Facebook?
Yeah. Our on-air personalities will post updates and information on their shows, as well as events and news concerning the station.
KPCA LP, Petaluma, California.